everyone, and welcome to episode 550 of the MTG Goldfish Podcast. I'm Seth, probably better known as Saffron Olive, and we have the full crew here this week, kicking things off with the owner of MTG Goldfish, Richard. How's it going this fine Monday, Richard?
Good morning, Seth. Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing super well. We got some interesting topics to talk about today, but before we get into that, we got another co-host in Krim. Good morning, Krim. And also a kitty. What's the kitty's name? I never remember the cat's name.
Her name is Luna, and she is aggressive about her affection, and she only wants it while I'm recording. Other time.
She really likes to be part of the content. I've noticed that about Luna.
Legit, she moves the mic all the time, and I swear, dude, she's only here when I'm filming.
Anyway, today we're going to be talking, jumping around a little bit. We're going to start talking about Standard. I have this interesting question about Standard, about how we can balance formats without actually banning cards. So we're going to dig into that a little bit. We also got Spider-Man spoilers, a couple of smaller random topics about Universes Beyond and weird places selling magic, some fish mail to get to. So that's the plan for today. Before we get into it, though, a reminder that today's show is brought to you by Card Conduit, and Card Conduit's the easiest way to sell your magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can use their curated service where you send in as many cards as you want with a buy list value of a dollar or more and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use their sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results and a fast payment once your order is processed. And you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/MTG Goldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your magic cards. So thank you to our sponsor for supporting this show. And let's talk some magic. And to set the stage for what we're going to dig into, which is how can we balance magic or balance standard without actually banning cards? We're still kind of living in VV's world in Standard. We had a couple of tournaments this weekend, not like super big tournaments. Next weekend is a super big GP-style tournament, which is really what I'm waiting for, to see what the meta really looks like in the wild. But we had like a Nerd Rage game event that was like 7 of 8 decks in the top 8 were VV decks. There was another one, Laughing Dragon, I think had a 20K for Standard that was 6 of the top 8, ended up being VV decks. I know, Krim, you said you played Store Champs, which was not nearly as big, and it was also pretty VV heavy, right?
Yeah.
So we already know this, though. We're not just going to bash VV again. We've been talking about this for weeks now. But
why would you? I love VV.
I know you do, Krim. Is there anything that could happen in Magic that would make you not like VV? Like, could VV be so broken it could ruin your fandom, or no?
No. Okay. It's like, you know what? It's like, hey, if he got banned, I'll salute him, set him off on a high note. His memories will live on in the skies, okay? I get it. And you know what? Him being banned makes it so that it's lore accurate.
Hey, I guess maybe it's a flavor win. Maybe it's a flavor
win. Yeah.
But this weekend, as I was watching all these VV matches, I was thinking, okay, so what do we know about Magic and Standard? One thing we know is people really hate bannings. Every time bannings happen, people complain about them. Wizards tries not to do them because they want people to feel comfortable buying their cards. We know all that. But at the same time, people also want standard to be balanced. Like, that's also something that's necessary. So we have a world where people don't like bannings, but bannings are necessary. And that got me wondering, are we doing this all wrong? Could there be another way that we could balance Standard that doesn't involve banning cards? And what made me think of this first was Battlegrounds. And I know you've played a little bit, Krim, maybe. I don't think either one of you really
played Hearthstone Battlegrounds?
Yeah, Hearthstone Battlegrounds. So in Hearthstone Battlegrounds, when you go into a game, you get a hero, and that's kind of your character, and they each have different abilities, and some are stronger than others. And the way that they balance it is, if you have a strong hero, you have a lower starting life total. If you have a weaker hero, you have a higher starting life total. They give you more armor, so you start at a higher life total. And that got me thinking, could this work with Magic? Like, is there a world where instead of banning VV or whatever card needs to be banned, could we control the power level of decks by changing the life total? Like, what if you played VV in your deck and you had to start at 15 life or 12 life or something rather than 20 life? Is there any merit to this? Could it even work? What other possibilities are there? So I'm curious what you guys think. Is there a way to balance Magic without bannings? And what do you think about the life total idea? Is that even possible?
I mean, funny enough, One Piece does that, right?
Does One Piece do that?
With multicolored leaders, there's some of them that start at 3 life, and there's the monocolored that start at 5 life. And I don't think it changes a thing.
Does it not change? Not enough of an impact?
No.
I think it definitely changes.
Okay, some of it does. So, okay. Will it work in Magic? Yes. Okay. Like, if Vivi started at 5 life, you know, like, that deck would clearly not be as good. So there's got to be some number at which it becomes balanced, right? Maybe it's 10, or I don't know what it is, but there is some number where
5 life.
This deck is no longer a thing. So clearly that lever would work. However, it doesn't make any sense because when you're sitting down, how do I know I'm playing against a Vivi deck? You know, like, in One Piece or even Commander, this would work very well. You know, there is a thing that's like omnipresent, which is your leader or commander. And then you know immediately what the life restriction should be. Because what if your opponent sits down and plays at 20 life and then they pull out a Vivi at some point? What if they sideboard out Vivi or something? Like, I don't know. It gets a little weird. But clearly, a 5-life Vivi deck will not be meta in Standard, right? So, like, if you adjust it to maybe, say, 10, 12 or something. And this goes for, like, any fast combo deck, right? Like let's say, like, Legacy Dredge or something, right? If it started at 5-life, it's totally different, right? Because now the mid-range or the aggro deck can actually race the combo deck. Like, it has a shot, whereas, like, a 20-life race versus, you know, 2-card combo is not really a race, right? So it would make things interesting, but I think the logistics of it make it impossible. Like, just tie... Because what if you say Vivi, you start at 10-life, but if you have, like, Omniscience in your deck, you start at 12-life, then what the hell happens, right? Like, do you like, somehow add the two? Like, what do you do? Is it, like, a -5 penalty? So you do 2 -5s, and you're at 10? Like, it starts getting weird.
You're starting...
But CDH could do this, right? CDH would be the cleanest place to start trying something like this, right?
Yeah, in Commander, it's very easy, because you just have a Commander, and you can make the points-based off that. That is the biggest problem with doing it in Standard, like you said, is not only, like, you'd have to do it based on cards rather than decks, because it would be too hard to classify decks. And then how do you know that the card's in the deck? That's another thing. I guess we have open decklist tournaments now, so, like, in some tournaments, you would know ahead of time if a VV was in the deck. But it's probably just too much work to be worth it.
Is this not just like either a game changer list in Standard, or is this now moving towards what is it, Canlander, that allows you to draft cards in your deck based on points?
That,
right? Like,
yeah. That was another one of the things I had on the list, is the Highlander point system. Could that work? What do you think about, could a game changer list work, Krim? Would that probably is just too weird for Standard, but could you have a game changer list where you can only play so many, like, busted cards in your deck or something? That probably doesn't make sense either, right?
I think this is a thing where busted cards, I don't think, are necessarily always bad, right? I don't think we need to do this thing where we have to sit down, have this rule zero conversation in a competitive format.
I would like to win in this game of Magic. What would you like to do, Krim? I would like an RC invite. What would you like? Oh, yes. Bribery, judge!
I would like to roll dice for this victory. Don't say that.
So just so it's clear what the whole idea of this is, the goal is to find a way to balance things without banning cards. So that's kind of the idea, is to, like, find a way that we can have something like bannings as far as managing power without actually having to make cards illegal, because people just really don't like cards being made illegal.
Aren't you just... You're saying balance the cards after the fact, essentially, right? Because, okay, here's how to fix it. You just balance Vivi coming down.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. As you activate the ability, lose 10 life. Okay, you're effectively a 10 life deck now, if we're gonna go that way. So the question is, okay, so they printed a card, it's botched. How do you fix it? And is it the cleanest just like an errata? You know what I mean? Like, the new card text is this, right? Versus, like, now you're a 10 life deck or something, right? And then maybe it changes, maybe it doesn't. Like, just fix the card to begin with.
Do you think that would be acceptable? Does One Piece do that as well?
Like, my leader, Commander, got banned pretty much, but not actually. It just got errated.
It actually doesn't get errated. Okay, so in One Piece, they ban it and they make a second version, which is usually a fixed version. Well, but here's the thing. They unbanned Krim's leader, so now both cards are legal at the same time now, right? Like, they're not effectively the same card, right? They're like, But Vivi is broken. We'll ban it. Next set, here is a generic Black Mage 2, and it has these Izzet abilities, right? That's like the balanced version. So it's actually, they ban it and make you a new one in case you're clinging on to your old deck. You can like slot it in and then...
so you can still...
Yeah, but the thing about One Piece is hilariously, they're like super non-viable. Like they're not even close to like playable at all. Like they make them super, super bad. But that's the idea, right?
It's
they
like
ban
you
it and they make you a
deck.
Replacement so that if you had like a VV Commander deck, you could play this new VV and it'll suck, but your deck is theoretically legal.
Does it work? Like, what is the, how does the One Piece community like that? Like, do people come away from it feeling like, oh my God, oh my God, they banned my commander. I'm done with this. I'm sick of this game. Or do people feel like, oh, this is actually way better than a banning because I get this fill-in replacement and I can put it in my deck. Like, does it work in practice? Is the community happy with it, you think?
I straight up quit. So I was like, oh, all right, cool.
The dynamic in One Piece is different. Every set, several new decks are viable and the metagame shifts. So the fact that your deck gets banned doesn't really matter because you never had the expectation of playing your deck for like 4 years. Like the meta is incredibly diverse, so like people don't care as much. So I don't know how to put it other than people do get salty at bans, but you live with it. Just like people are probably salty about Corey Steelcutter, but who cares? Like you just went on with it, right?
Here's the magic player in us talking about, right? We're used to like wanting bans and all of this all the time. My problem, and also another reason why I think I stopped playing One Piece as much, is because after they banned my commander, it left this space where, like, my commander was kind of one of the few commanders that actually had interesting card design that I thought was very fun. And so, like, after that, it went back to, like, it's not like I think every card is underpowered in One Piece. It's just like the design itself of every card then kind of got samey, right? With every other thing that exists, with a few like knobs turned here and there. I think that we focus a little too much on bans. And I don't know how you would fix it though, right? Other than actually just giving it the axe and kicking it out. I don't think we should do any like, you know, like, I'm going to print a new version and it, or errata. I think we should just ban it.
So you don't like paper alchemy. You don't like that.
I don't
idea
like
of just
paper
like errating. I know
just,
in the past.
Just do it, right? Just don't skirt around it. Just rip the Band-Aid off.
Just,
all right.
Just rip the... Yeah, but then
we keep ripping the Band-Aids off. There's too many.
Yeah.
It's like, but look how clean we are.
Fight axe, and you're like, tis a flesh wound. Give me a Band-Aid.
I understand that reference.
Wow, Richard,
now
coming in with the Monty Python and the Holy Grail reference.
That is crazy. I finally know
it. So banning is clearly like something that's done historically, but we're trying to go on the not ban list. And we talked about life. What about other resource penalties? Like, you start with 5 cards.
You know what? You want to know what I think you really should have? You should just have less. If you want to try to fix this, smaller sideboard.
Ooh.
Smaller
sideboard.
Because this way, if let's say you
for
get
everyone
paired,
or for VV?
For just the tier
deck,
right?
Broken deck. Okay.
Oh, the broken
deck. So the broken deck gets a smaller sideboard.
You lose sideboard slots. This way you aren't able to like flex your answers, right? So you won't have as many versatile like slots in your sideboard.
I could see that. It wouldn't help with best of one, which would be a drawback if that matters. But, I mean, I could see that being an interesting restriction. Would it really do that much, though? Like, I don't know if that would take away... The thing that people get upset about like a Nadu or a Vivi, which is the, oh, I have this like huge 15-minute turn out of nowhere where I just win the game from not having anything on board. Like that would still happen, but your deck would
overall be weaker
because you wouldn't be able to tech for it.
Well, yeah, like if you're upset about the Vivi taking 15 minutes doing their thing, that means that your deck is probably getting hosed by it no matter what, right? but I do think there's a lot of play, and sideboards are probably one of the strongest things in Magic, right? Because sideboards allow you to like swing any matchup in your favor. And if the Vivi deck is a known deck and hated out deck, it'll only unfortunately, I think Into the Flood Maw is just too versatile of an answer, but, you know, whatever. Like, that's their only four, but they don't get to, like, go and sideboard into, like, a different game plan and do all these other things and protect their cauldron and do all load up with counter spells and all of that, right? They get to do one or the other, and it kind of locks them into just this main deck, and it almost, like, says, like, hey, you have to play 60 cards.
No sideboard. Oh, if your deck's too good, you get no sideboard.
Maybe.
You get
maybe.
One
we,
card.
We can't
one,
trust
one
Wizards
silver bullet.
To balance the game as is. But then we're going to give them like this crazy variable of like sideboard slots. And then they start with 15. After every tournament win, we remove one sideboard.
Wait, you go down one sideboard slot, yeah.
Until it comes to zero. And then we're like, is it fixed?
The
VB players are playing best of one. Do you enjoy it?
Like, the VB Discord community will have to be like, guys, I need you to throw. We can't keep winning. We need a sideboard.
I think it works, but I think it is like of things to balance, it was probably one of the most difficult things to balance because it like exactly depends on the metagame. You know what I mean? Like what are the decks in the metagame kind of determines how important your sideboard slots are. And then you're gonna trust Wizards to balance this. Like this is a nightmare.
Too complicated, maybe, I would say. That would be my concern. It just seems very complicated and a lot of variables. What about, like, the smaller hand size? Do you remember, like, the Vanguard cards they printed in Magic in the 90s, like, where Momir Vig came from? And they were, like, these characters that had static abilities, and then they each had a starting hand, either plus or minus. So you'd either get more or less cards in your starting hand, and also life total plus or minus to try to, like, balance them out. Would some combination of that work? Like, what if Phoebe, you started at 15 life and 5 cards instead of 20 life and 7 cards? Like, is that still too convoluted, too hard
come
to do?
Come play One Piece with me where they have solved all of these things. This is how they create variety in One Piece, because you have a commander, which is a leader, but unlike a commander, it stays permanently on the battlefield. So its effect is always active. So you can think of it as an emblem. And there are leaders with companion-esque stipulations, right? So it says something like, per the rules of the game, your deck can only contain bears or something, right? And then you can only put bears into your deck, or you can't have any characters over cost 6 in your deck. Like there's like random restrictions like that. And they use that to create new leader designs. And they have different powers. So it modulates the power of those things. So yes, it would work. But at the same time, it's the VV issue, right? Like, how do you know VV's in the deck to start with 5 cards in hand or whatever? Like, how do you see any of this? And how do you remember as the player themselves? Like, oh, I sideboarded out VV, my hand is 7. I sideboarded in VV, my hand is 5. Like, how do you even, like, remember any of this?
That's probably too much to...
But okay, 5 card hand, extra mulligan. You know, maybe you get a free mulligan if you're not VV. I don't know, right?
you can play with this. You hope it's like the Pokemon TCG setup. There's a prize system and 6 cards are randomly taken out of your deck at the beginning of the game, and you have to kill a Pokemon to get to draw from your prize file.
Your 4 VVs could be in there. Yeah. Your deck wouldn't work.
Yeah. You could hope for it.
What about this one? Because I think this is actually practical, and it seems like it would solve the VV problem, although I don't know if it would solve all the problems. But what if rather than banning cards, you banned combos of cards, which I also think is something that I saw from One Piece recently based on my Twitter. But what if instead of banning VV or banning Cauldron so no one can play it, what if you just said you can't play those 2 cards in the same deck? You can still play VV, you can still play Cauldron. You're banned from putting both of those cards in the same deck.
I got a story for you guys. Last week, okay, One Piece had a big ban and restriction update.
Oh.
Okay, and they psyched us out a couple of times, right? They're like, it's coming in August, and then there's like a big tournament in August. So clearly it's there. It doesn't happen. But I wake up in the morning, and before I hear anything about the ban list from anyone, Seth and Krim are messaging me, and they're like, "Rich, did you see the One Piece update? What do you make of this?" Right? I'm like, "Am I the One Piece player? Like, what is going on? Why are you guys so dialed in to One Piece TCG news?" So that's the first thing I see in the morning.
Stay up to date, dude. Any game that I've ever played, and because you know that news was my commander getting unbanned, so
yeah,
I obviously
Grim was unbanned from the game. But okay, They added a new thing to One Piece, which was if you play a certain commander, you can't play certain cards with it. So rather than straight up banning the cards, they banned the combo that was problematic. And in One Piece, this is fairly normal. So like this particular banning has never happened before, but there are cards that you can't put in your deck, right? Because there are cards that say you can only play this card if your commander has a type bear in it. Right. So then you know that this card doesn't just go into any card deck. It goes into that deck. So there's already that restriction in One Piece players' minds. And then we also have color identity as well. So the idea that a white card can't go in a white deck is not foreign to One Piece players. I don't know how we would feel about this if you're like, if you have Vivi in your deck, you can't have Cauldron.
Yeah. It's a little clumsy.
That's fine, but, I guess. I don't know, right? The other thing about One Piece is your commander's present. So, like, half of the combo is always seen. So if the other half shows up, you know it's illegal. Whereas if I just see Vivi and then you never draw your cauldron and you beat me, you know, I guess I got scuffed. But, you know, like, that's like another logistical issue with this.
Yeah. But I mean, work, couldn't someone no put Vivi? Black Lotus in their deck and never draw it? And you would have never known if you lost to the Vivi and they were actually playing Black Lotus.
That's
in
true,
standard.
Right? That's
like,
for every BNR.
So we already kind of have that issue. Yeah,
you could have five copies of Vivi in your deck. No one would know until you drew the fifth.
Yeah, no one knows. Right? Yeah. So there is some amount of trust that just goes into playing a game of Magic where you just like assume your opponent's playing by the rules. And then if they don't, you call a judge. I don't know if it's too clunky. And it also wouldn't solve... Like, if the problem is Fable the Mirror Breaker, what combo are you banning? What deck are you saying not to put it in? So it would work well with, like, yeah.
You know, can't play Mountain, Stomping Ground.
It would work well with combos, but it wouldn't work well with just, like, generically over, like, Oko. They just could go in any deck. Like, what are you going to do? Like, Oko and Gilded Goose or something?
I think that's even more... That's annoying, right? Like, I think that'd be too annoying to have to sit there and wait till tournament results, do all of this, and then wait, and then finally, like, the deck gets good. It's the same as just banning it, right? Just ban it. At that
you think
point.
Just ban it?
At the same time, that's no longer viable.
I think you just ban it, right? Like,
yeah.
The whole point is I'm upset that I spent $800 on this deck and I can't play it anymore. Yeah. But if you ban, let's say, the Cauldron Vivi combo, and let's say Vivi Prowess is the only thing left, but now it's just like tier three now. I'm like, am I really happy about this? Maybe. I don't like if you're just a Vivi enjoyer, I guess you're fine with that. But if you're a tournament grinder, you're like, I'm just out $800, right? So I don't know.
So
did that really make anything better?
Blue.
Tournament grinders borrow their cards. It's fine. I'm just kidding. No. Like, I do think that, like, this is, you know how you fix it? You just make the cards, like Vivi, dirt cheap.
There's tons of ways we could fix it by controlling wizards, but we just don't control wizards. Like, if we control wizards, we could make the cards super cheap, or we could test them more. Like, we could make sure Vivi never got printed. Like, but we just, that's the variable we can't control. We can't control what wizards does. So I'm trying to think of stuff that we can actually control. My question for you overall is, would any of these, or if you have any other ideas that we haven't gotten to, are any of these actually better than just banning the card? It sounds like... Krim, you're probably leaning towards no. None of these would actually be better than the current system of just, like, if something's too busted, you ban it.
I would try to do, like, the maybe modified sideboard stuff just to see, like, if they're locked into a 60, then that's it, right? Unless they want to main deck, like, 75 cards. If they want to main deck 75 cards, I guess that's the way around the sideboard thing. But then you have 15 extra cards that are random as heck.
Then you have some inconsistency. Yeah.
Yeah. So I personally would try that. But I could also see how that's also a logistical nightmare. So for the main thing here is logistical nightmares is hard to dodge, right? That if we were trying to get around the bannings.
What do you think, Richard?
Ban and make new terrible Vivi. So it's the same as errata, but you don't get the confusion because in an errata, the card name is the same, right? So we'll call it VV Black Mage 2. We'll make it balanced. And then the original VV is banned. And if you want to play your Cope standard deck with like balanced VV, go ahead. Like you're still there. If you're there for flavor purposes, whatever, like you still have the option. all competitive players, it's effectively banned, right? Like, this deck is dead. It's no longer doing its thing. So I would do that. Like, ban it for the competitive players. Casual players get a free, and I literally mean free. So One Piece, when they ban the thing, at the next pre-release, everyone gets a new Sakazuki for free, okay? Like, everyone gets a new law for free, right? So you, everyone gets a free Vivi at the next pre-release, and if you want to play Cope standard deck, you play that. Competitive players effectively banned. That's all we care about, right? Balanced meta. We don't need this Vivi deck still here. So I would do that to cover both the casual and competitive players.
I actually kind of like that idea now that you describe it. So it'd be bannings, but with a replacement, basically. So you're not just left hanging. Although some people are probably still going to be upset, I guess. If you spend your really busted $80 on really busted VV, and then you end up with super watered down unplayable VV, but it's still probably better than nothing, right? The current system is if VV gets banned, you're just kind of out of luck and your VV is not worth anything now. Yeah, out of these ideas, I'm intrigued by the possibility of, like, tuning some of the other knobs, like the hand size or crim sideboard idea or life totals. I think you run into a lot of the issues we talked about, which is it wouldn't really be that practical to do, but I think it's an intriguing possibility. But what
we go chess clock, okay? If you're a VV, you get 5 minutes. Good luck. Nadu, 5 minutes. Go. If you can Nadu me 5 minutes, go. Because in chess, that's how they balance power level, right? You get less clock if the better you are. But obviously in Magic, we have a shared clock, and it's not even a clock at all, really. So we can't do that.
It's so funny because actually in Battlegrounds, that is part of how they balance the game, which is funny because you have a turn clock. Your turn clock runs out. There was a card that they just had. It's a spell that gives a creature +6/+6. And they changed it to say, give your leftmost creature +6/+6. And I could not for the life of me figure out why they would do that, because you can just move any creature you want to be your leftmost creature and it'll get the +6/+6 anyway. But I realized they were just adding one extra click, essentially. You need to move your character and then cast the spell. So it eats up a little bit more of your clock. So it is actually like a weird nerf that doesn't look like a nerf. So maybe there is a way that you could do it with, control it with the clock, which would be kind of funny. Well, I guess we'll see. If you have any ideas in the comments, I'm very curious if you can think of any ways we could balance Magic without actually having to ban cards, or if you like any of these ideas.
I have a question, Seth. Oh, there's no alchemy for Final Fantasy, so they never rebalanced VV for alchemy.
They never did, no.
Because I'm like, what did the arena team decide VV looks like? But apparently they're just like, we can't do it due to IP restrictions.
They did Cutter, right? And I believe they just took Trample off of it. I'm pretty sure it's like the same card, but it doesn't give Trample. So you could do it that way. That was always something that I was like, it's not worth it. It's going to be too confusing, right? Cards need to play as written. But the more years go by, the more this doesn't, not anymore.
In the world of, like, literally borderless, textless avatar cards that have 8,000 words on them, do the cards really need...
Nope.
What if we did the Urza's head thing where there's just a QR code on the card and then you scan it and then you get today's Oracle text based on tournament results of the past 2 weeks?
That would be interesting. Although you might still lose confidence in people buying cards if just like anytime your card could have different text, it might be hard to get people to buy them, but it would be fun.
That's the problem. I'm not a fan of Aras.
just balance the answer is balance the card, right?
That is like, the
go
best
back to the days option. Of we are not banning anything in standard. So everything is going to be rigorously tested and we're going to play it safe, because honestly, I don't think they've done a good job. You know what I mean? Like, the meta has barely shifted for like 6 to 8 months. It's not like we're getting a diverse meta and then once in a while, like, this random Vivi comes and cooks us, right? Like, it's the same piles of cards with the fire design anyway. We just use the most broken thing, and that thing is broken till you ban it till the next thing, right? So I don't know if this fire design is even helping us at all. What if we're just super conservative and don't print things that need to be banned, right? And then call it a day.
I saw... I saw a really good video today that I really enjoyed by someone that I didn't even know was a YouTuber until today. It was someone named Blood Artist. And the way they do their videos is with a whiteboard, and it looks super cool because they're actually like drawing. It's almost like a manual like slideshow, but they're doing it live as they're drawing and explaining this stuff. But the video was talking about, it was titled Bands Don't Matter. And their thesis of the whole thing was essentially Wizards used to have to balance cards for Standard, and that required them to control power levels because Standard was the main focus. Now that Commander is the main focus and Wizards wants to print exciting cards for Commander, that's what has kind of led to the issues with the power creep. So I think that's kind of the issue. I would like to say Wizards, yes, just balance cards better, but maybe VV is balanced for being exciting in Commander, and that's the format that makes the money and has the most players, and us Standard players are just kind of got to deal with it at this point. Like, do you think there's any truth to that?
I got it, Seth. Standard Horizons. Did we make a set?
Sounds silly, but yeah.
We make a set correct. With only cards designed for Standard.
We need some cards printed directly into Standard.
This is an idea right here. Hold on.
I think we cracked it.
We're cooking right now.
We need Standard.
It's going to be all this wasted plots. So we got to add some cards in there. I got it. We'll use Commander cards to fill in the chaff that people don't want.
And then on the bottom of the card, it says cannot be played in Commander.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Anyway, yeah, let us know what you think about this. Also on Standard, one last thing before we move on. I know I saw this post on Reddit, and you brought it up too, Richard. There was a post about on the play win rate being an issue, and I was curious if you guys have experienced this. So this was someone who, I guess, had been playing an aggro deck, and they're won 82% of the time on the play, but only 59% on the draw. And they're like, that's like a 23% difference. That's so huge. Do you think that Standard has a more of an issue than normal with play draw being a problem now as far as win rates go? Like, is this Standard especially bad for play draw issues, or is this just magic?
I feel like this is any game.
Just any game.
Not One Piece. Oh,
other games, though, have one system.
One Piece is busted in that, like, if you go second, you're probably winning, right?
Because... Well, no, so One Piece, so the difference in One Piece, oh my, I don't want to keep talking about One Piece, but this one's kind of important. So if you're the first player, you add one mana, and then every turn you add two. So you go 1, 3, 5, 7. Okay, and you don't draw a card. Second player draws a card. It's the same like Magic, but their mana goes 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. So you have a different curve, and decks will prefer one curve over the other, right? So when you win the coin flip in One Piece, you like non-ironically choose second a lot of the times depending on your deck. Whereas Magic, you never, ever... Unless you're in the control mirror, right? There's like very small edge cases where you don't choose first because it's symmetrical, except you just have more, like you get the initiative, not the initiative, that's a real word, but you get to go first at the cost of one card, and it's always worth it in Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
One Tempo. Piece, that's not the case, right? There's a real choice of going second or even choosing the thing your deck doesn't want to throw the other deck off their curve. And then alternatively, you can build your deck differently knowing that everyone will put you on the bad curve, right? So there was a deck that always goes first, and then people actually teched and rebuilt it as a going second deck. So when everyone gave that deck second, you're like, aha, you've fallen for my trap card.
Gotcha.
But anyway,
kind of interesting
a big difference
that matters.
Because as Standard games get shorter, right? So they're ending on turns 3, turns 4, whatever. When you get an extra turn, you're getting when you go first, you're getting like an extra like 3 to 4 mana than your opponent on the final turn, plus the extra combat, plus the extra two main phases. And when the game is so short, that's a big deal, right? Like 3 extra mana over like a 3-turn game is like gigantic, as opposed to, you know, if the game goes like 7, 8, 9 turns. And Magic is cooked. I don't think we've ever decided to go second. You'd have to add a coin or something, right? Like, I think Hearthstone's like Hearthstone coin is a way to mitigate this. The extra card is supposed to mitigate it, but clearly it hasn't worked. I don't know what else. Like, you skip your first combat or something. Like, I don't know what they could do, but they need to somehow flip it so the first person doesn't have a huge advantage, but it's like that for like all formats going back. But now that standard is so fast, you're seeing the repercussions more and you don't have the answers, right? You can't force of will their turn one play or whatever. Yeah. So it's a big deal. And I honestly think Magic is about coin flips. You lose a coin flip, you're like, oh my God, right? Like, this is tremendously terrible. And then you maul the six, you're like, it's over. Like, why do I even play this? Like, on the draw, down to six? Like, you know, like the percentages go down dramatically. And I don't know, like, do you think the coin would fix it? Most games come up with the coin type system to try to catch you up in tempo, right?
The coin makes me worried, like Krim said, that maybe it would actually just be better to be on the draw, which maybe that's what you want, is there to be some choice there. But like, wouldn't it be broken, Krim, where you just like, if you start with two mana, wouldn't that lead to like some very explosive combo-y things if you were on the draw?
If you gave me a Lotus Petal for going second, I think that is kind of, like, and also this coin, right? Because like in Hearthstone, it counted as casting a spell. So you could hold the coin and then cast it to pump something, right?
Right.
So then that's just a free spell.
You can start with the treasure on the battlefield if you want to remove the storm aspect of it, right?
Or you could even just have it trigger like a saga. Like the beginning of your first main phase, you add one mana and you'd have to use it then and you wouldn't be able to carry it over for future turns.
Oh,
like,
that would be terrible. That would not fix anything.
Well, yeah,
you can't even choose what to use.
Then you're the same as just not having it, right? Because like the reason why you want that coin is the flexibility of to use it when you needed it, right? To speed into your four drop or whatever a turn earlier. I think the coin would break more things than fix it. And I think that there's really no way to deal with this discussion without just balancing standard right entirely. Standard
is extra cards and extra there are ways to make people choose going second. And
but then
you're
but
still
then
not going to choose second versus like a Manifold Mouse deck or whatever. You know what I mean? You're still going to get cooked by aggro if you do this, right?
Wait. If you don't think like if I drew two cards extra that I wouldn't choose going second because that's
okay,
really
you play control
good.
Deck. That's different.
Well, no.
Like
no,
a normal
okay.
person may not.
Hear me out. If I'm an aggro deck, right? Let's say I'm an aggro deck and I'm going second. Yeah. I just gave the aggro deck two additional cards. And like, it's not like, you know, like, I think the issue is more so the answers
today,
that
right? I just gave them one extra card. So the tipping point was one more card. Like, usually the aggro deck kills you. You have like six cards in hand. Like the cards in hand was not the issue when the aggro deck kills you, right?
No, but you loaded the aggro deck up with another card on top of that so they could be more aggressive.
Oh.
I don't know. I feel like
matters. Like control deck, right? You totally path to exile things to give them the extra land because you're like, once we hit three or four mana, we're good to go if I'm like somewhat alive, right?
Think get lost.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
get lost you. Those map tokens matter, right? Like those map tokens have definitely come into play.
They do.
And so like that's why I don't think that would fix it. I think the only thing you can do if you're going to have this hyper aggressive low to the ground standard, you got to have the answers that match it, right? So like you had mentioned the whole force situation, right? Like, yeah, I can't force your creature. Maybe not force, but what if, okay, I know this also goes to the aggro deck, but like Bolt. I think Bolt fixes a lot. I think
this is how we got here, though, Chris. Because once upon a time, we played four drop vanillas, right? And then people were like, I fatal push it, and then you just lost three mana in your entire turn. So we made threats more and more efficient. And now we're at the point where we need Lightning Bolt. And then soon you're going to get like a zero mana, like 5/5 coming down that draws a card. You know what I mean? Like, that's why we're here, because we made the answers too efficient. So the threats have
you
to
are
be
right.
even more efficient.
You're 100% right. But I mean, just this standard and what's already out right now.
Yes.
I think you do need, that's the only way, right? You have the answers. Follow suit. And we kind of joked about Standard Horizons, but hear me out. What if you had Foundations, but then it wasn't Poo Stew? Okay? Like, you had Foundations.
Foundations with good cards. Yeah.
With good cards. You know, and it wasn't a way to sell me a doubling season. Okay? Like this is what, okay, Think Twice, though. That's always a great card. Now, I know. Thank you. But Right, like they were on the right track with Foundations. I just think Foundations needed better cards. And I think that, like, if Foundations had something maybe like a core set, it's pretty much a core set, but if you had, like, Bolton there, I think that this is a world where, like, you can have good answers and have it cycle out and you can test it. Like, you could put the mana leaks, you could put the bolts and whatever, and this way you can answer these annoying cards.
I'm not convinced that the issue is, like, an imbalance necessarily between answers. Like, have answers been pretty good in Standard? I feel like people always talk about Standards being, like, answers being bad, but I feel like the answers in Standard have not been that bad the past few years. It's not like some eras where they have, like, legitimately, like, Hero's Downfall is your best removal spell or something. Like,
those are, hey, that card saved my hide, right? So, I think, okay. Yes, the answers have been good, right? Like, they are better than a lot of historically, like, some of the other answers that have existed in Standard. But I think these answers aren't the right answers to stop the archetypes that are so juiced, right? It's not like I think Cut Down is a bad card, but I do think that Cut Down is a needed card.
I see. Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense. Like, better answers would help. Do you think they could just, like, print cards to get out of this? We've seen some of this with Alchemy, right, where they've started to print more and more cards that are like, if you're on the draw, I'm much better than if I'm on the play. It's lands that come into play untapped only if you're on the draw and things like that. Like, is there a way they could just print cards that benefit the people who are on the draw and fix the imbalance
that
way or
is
improve
much
it?
That land like was actually Cavern. Amazing.
When you I think that would actually help?
Yeah, because like on the play, it's a tap land. On the draw, it's an untapped land. And yeah, that actually makes a big difference. So maybe if they put enough of those cards...
You'd need a lot, yeah.
In. Yeah. So here's the big problem, though, right? Which, like, two turns... this sounds incredibly dumb for someone trying to play High Level Magic, right? But, like, two or three turns into the game, you're like, did I go first or second? Is this thing coming tapped or untapped?
Yeah.
Right? And then you gotta pause and think about it, right? You're like, it causes, like, a memory issue, which shouldn't be a problem if you're like actually playing High Level Magic, but like, let's be real here, right? We all suck.
Right? Yeah, no, that is fair. I guess you'd have to track it.
And it highlights on Arena, but I'm not sure what the highlight I'm like, did the highlight mean it enters untapped or does it mean it enters tapped? Right? I'm like, this is all kinds of confusion, right? But like, maybe like it's a shock, but if you're on the draw, it's a bolt. Like, how about that? Yeah. Is that a decent card?
Yeah. I like that. I think
things
that's
that
really
upgrade,
good.
Yes. Things that upgrade if you're on the draw, I think would be really helpful. Or I guess you could have things that punish you if you're on the play, but I think the other way is probably better. I think people would enjoy more like a benefit than a drawback. But I think something like that could at least be helpful. I should also say, I know the numbers in that Reddit article were like, 20-something%. I looked through my untapped data. You definitely have a benefit being on the play, but I think the person on Reddit was definitely playing like an aggro deck and probably the most extreme example. Because I don't think overall with my decks, I'm definitely not winning 20% more on the play than I am on the draw. Maybe like 10% or something, but it's not actually approaching 20% with the deck that I play.
Can my 17 lands show me this?
I don't know. I don't use 17 lands. I'm curious. Oh, limited would be a great place to check.
I have 1,000
too. That's
games
like the purest
of Final
form.
Fantasy in there if you want to.
Wow,
you have
a lot of Final Fantasy.
Limited is the format, though, where I do find myself actually questioning first or second sometimes.
Oh, that's true. Do you ever go on the draw on limited, Richard? No. I think I'm more likely to limited
than
constructed.
That's Magic talk. Maybe sealed, but even then. Okay. Like...
Wait, you wouldn't take the draw on some of these matchups? Like in some of these, okay, maybe
tempo's like some unanswered four drop, you're cooked. Right? The one card doesn't matter, right? So being first,
but there's
always
so many answers
matters.
In limited now.
First combat always matters. I mean, there's sometimes you will choose second and you will think about it. But in Magic, it's like think about it and then like 95% of the time go first. You know what I mean? Like it's not anywhere close to 50%. So I would like it so that it's close to 50, so that there's actually a choice and it adds more strategic depth. Like in One Piece, people get cooked by choosing the wrong thing, right? Like, oh yeah, you are a 70% win rate against this deck, but if you have the wrong order, it's actually 30% because it's actually something like 90-30 split or something like that, right? So it gives you another decision factor that you need to make. So I actually really like our Lightning Bolt idea where we upgrade shocks the Lightning Bolts or things like that. And then as the burn deck, you can be like, actually, I want to go second here because it upgrades all my spells by one. Or like, I know you play a one mana 3/3, so I need my shock to be a Lightning Bolt, so I'm going to choose second, right? Like, it gives you that level of play, but I would like the choice to be closer to 50-50, like 60-40 or something. And I don't even care if it's like 60-40, you go second. It doesn't even matter, right? But as long
right,
as there is...
Yeah. Just so it's close to even.
A choice,
equal, yeah.
And it's even better if different decks choose different things. Which kind of is like that for Magic. Like, the only person that would ever go second in this day and age is a control deck. But even then, like, it's never yeah. worth it unless it's
Manaless Dredge.
Right?
Manaless Dredge. You always go second.
Manaless Dredge. You got to discard.
That's the one
Wait,
deck.
But you are saying, though, you would rather, even if it means that people just start choosing second more than first?
If it's 70% choose second, 30% choose first, that's a win over 99% of the time choosing first. You know what I mean? Like, let's say second is the overpowered.
Then at least
one.
It's a choice, yeah.
That's fine as long as there's a choice. Ideally, it'd be 50-50-ish, right?
Right, right. Okay. I'm curious how busted that would be. We'd have to like, I personally want to just sit down and just like play test a bunch of cards like that and see like how it
plays. I think they can make
it a lot interesting.
Free mulligan? What if you get a free mulligan? Is that enough to go second?
No. That's not enough. That's busted.
What about two free mulligans? What about
that's
two free
busted? That's so busted. No.
Because
I don't know. Yeah.
The deck that want to go first are combo decks. So you give them two mulligans to go second and they might get enticed by it. I don't know, but. There's got to be an extra card, an extra treasure. There's got to be some incentive worth it at some point.
There's got to be, yeah. It's just something that Magic hasn't really experimented with.
A free promo card.
We will send you a copy of EV if you go second. Straight from the printers. Anyway, that's all of our standard stuff. We also have one random promo card, which I think you guys know better than I do. Spider-Man spoilers officially kick off on Friday for some reason. And then next week is all spoiler season. But we got one promo. Richard, what is our Spider-Man promo?
Wait, Spider-Man's coming out soon. What do you mean for some reason? Isn't it coming out in September?
Oh, usually. Just kicking off on Friday is weird. Usually they kick off on Tuesdays for their like early like stream. But for some reason, this time it's on Friday.
All right. J. Jonah Jameson, 3-mana, 2/2 red, legendary creature, human citizen. When it enters, suspect up to one target creature. Whenever a creature you control with menace attacks, create a treasure token. And don't come back, you menace.
This
suspect
so
gives
flavorful.
You menace.
I just think about how flavorful that is. That's so good. I cannot wait. I want this promo token. You can see, like, Richard, as you mentioned, Spider-Man. You see him in the art swinging away. But the flavor of this is on point, right? He gives something menace, and whatever he dubs a menace. And then, of course, you know, the Daily Bugle, he is also trying to get, you know, he's paying you out for these photos as well. So whenever a creature with menace attacks, like usually Spider-Man, you create a treasure token. I like it.
And of course, suspect gives a creature menace, right? It gets menace that it can't block. So it like snowballs with itself a little bit. Is the card any good? So the Spider-Man flavor, obviously good by the sounds. The card, I can't imagine standard play. It seems kind of funny, Commander, though. You can build like a menace deck with it and just play a whole bunch of menace stuff. And because it's whenever a creature you control with menace attacks, you could be making a lot of treasures if all of your stuff has menace.
And red does have a high density of menace creatures, if I remember.
Yeah,
and
red then, is like the biggest menace color, yeah.
But in standard, this is a 3-mana 2/2 that only suspects once it enters. So, you know,
and we have not
very real with you. Probably not.
We have not seen any suspect cards be good either. That was one of the Murders at Karlov Manor mechanics. And we haven't seen any of those cards actually see constructed play so far.
Imagine it's like, oh, cool. I suspect, I don't know, your mice package. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the menace. I will attack you. What do you think, Richard? Is
this
card playable?
What is this promo for? Is this like a
I think it's for attending Atlanta.
They're handing them out at the event this weekend. Yeah. So if you go to the Atlanta showcase series or whatever it is, that's the promo for the event.
So it's like the doggy from
it's like
Yoshimaru, I don't know. I like this. I'm a big fan of this. But it is not good. Like, it is not a good.
I wish it was playable. Ugh.
Yeah.
I hate how they make all these cards and like it's not even playable in Commander, guys. Let's be real here. I mean, you can play it. It's technically legal.
This
it is so cool.
Right? I feel this like this perfectly exemplifies the problem Wizards faces when it comes to Magic and Universes Beyond in general, though. Like, we want them not to break things, but then we also want the cards to be good. And, like, it seems like a very, very tough needle to thread, right? Like,
lock I would into like a to Spider-Man deck.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I guess that's true.
If your commander is Spider-Man, does something ridiculous. Otherwise, some mediocre thing. So you played in some other deck, it's mediocre. In Spider-Man and only Spider-Man, it's amazing, right?
Yeah, yeah, I guess that is the way to go. Just make it super narrow is probably the easiest way to solve it. Well, we'll see more Spider-Man very soon. Also this week, I don't know if you guys saw this. I don't know if this is like a normal thing, but apparently hardware stores are selling Magic now. Someone posted a picture of like literally their hardware store with like all the tools and stuff, and they just got an aisle set up with Magic, and it actually looks like pretty well stocked. They got like deck boxes and a bunch of booster packs. What is going on? Are we just like mainstream now? Like, I have to imagine that your local Ace Hardware store or whatever it is where you live, like setting up a Magic aisle, that's a pretty good sign that Magic's pretty mainstream, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We are definitely mainstream, and we're top shelf too. We're not whatever that Minecraft.
That is true. Minecraft's down at the bottom. Yeah.
Minecraft stuff at the bottom. I do find it hilarious though that it's like you could buy that. And what is that, a leaf blower at the very bottom?
Yeah, I think there's
at
the very bottom looks like a leaf blower. Yeah.
Ah, honey, I found some Doctor Who decks with the leaf blower we needed.
I don't know how often you guys go to Home Depot, but here's what I learned. Okay, they're very clever. They have toy cars at Home Depot. Same with like Lowe's and stuff like that. And it totally makes sense because when I need to go to Home Depot to grab something and my 3-year-old son is with me, he loves going to Home Depot because he loves seeing the cars.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure about my 13-year-old son coming with me to look at some Magic cards at Ace Hardware. That was a stretch. But most hardware stores have like toys for little kids because they know. Yeah. And then, you know, you're carrying lumber, some garbage. You don't have time to argue with your son. Like, yeah, just take the car, throw it in there, whatever, right? Like, buy it. You know, they put it right by the checkout just to get you. Right. So you think they're doing you a solid by entertaining your kid, but they're not. They're just adding more expenses. That's what they're doing here. But for 13-year-old kids, I don't know.
This is the same thing, but for adults. I think that's what they're going for. Like, I had to go get some nails the other day to like fix this board on my deck. If I walked into the hardware store and there was like a bunch of Modern Horizons packs sitting there, you know I'm walking out with a couple of packs to go along with my nails.
Honey, they just didn't have any parts left for us. We're going to have the toilet be broken for another week. By the way, I got to do an unboxing video. I'll be back.
Wait. You're saying dads don't deserve a reward for doing the household chores? You know, honey, I said I'd get the leaf blowers, so I found it right underneath all the Magic cards, and I'm going to just go ahead and buy a pack.
You know what won't work? The one pack per limit customer, because you know every time you do a project, it's like 8 trips to Home Depot, right?
Oh, yeah.
Grab another pack of...
Again and
grab
again.
Grab another pack of Magic the Gathering every time you go. It's a heavy tax.
Anyway, one other one that's just popped up today, and then we're going to get to a fish mail. I'm curious what you guys think of this. This was a tweet that was just cycling around on the Magic internet, and it says, "Confession. Once I declined a second date with a guy from Hinge, in part because I thought it was a red flag that he had a commander deck that was 100% self-designed custom MTG cards." I don't really understand this. So I could see someone who doesn't know Magic or gaming, just think that like Magic is weird and that would be a red flag. Like any gaming, or they're just like, I don't get it. Like that's weird to me. But why is a custom commander deck, why is that specifically a red flag? Is that just like you're so committed to Magic it like is off-putting, or what is it, even the theory of this? Do you guys understand?
I think there is a level of I play Magic. And then there is a level that I sit in my room. It's like if I sat in my room and I wrote fanfic all day. Right?
Okay,
like,
that's it's just too
far. You know
what
far. I mean?
What's wrong with that?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Ha ha ha, nerds. Like thing, which, you know, some people do. Like, you don't even need self. Like, I declined a second date because on Friday night they went to an LGS and played cards, right? You know, that's a normal thing. And I feel... You know, I don't think, you know, obviously we don't think it's warranted, but I also feel that we, the nerds, have a part in this because we're like, ha ha, you know, look at this. Look, they're making fun of us. Grr, you know, and we spread it ourselves.
That is also true. It was at the top of everything this morning. Everyone's talking about it.
However,
I think it depends.
So as a Magic player myself, this is a red flag, man. Self-designed custom cards. Come on, they're cool. Just play, play the meta like everyone else. Richard.
They might be good. I think it depends on how well the card is designed.
Is it a one man or you win the game? You win the game? Did Krim make two mana farewell in his custom deck designed for fun?
It depends on the card being.
Nerds, ha 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 ha.
I think we are making it
much worse by being like, look, they all think we're nerds. Just like there was another post the other day about like top five most unattractive things or something.
Magic the Gathering.
They were was up there, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's Magic players making that go viral as opposed to like normal people.
Normal people
are like, what is Magic the Gathering?
It is funny though that Magic the Gathering is at least recognized on the mainstream, so that's probably why. But like that list specifically had comics number one, and then I'm like, damn, dude,
are comics even still popular? I don't even know.
No. I get excited if I just get to talk to somebody. It doesn't even have to be the same comic. You could talk about like Batman and I'm just like, yo, you read comics? That's sick.
I look at the pictures, Krim.
Reading. Hey, picture books are cool. All right. Picture books are cool.
All right, we got a couple quick fish mail to wrap things up today. And this one I almost didn't want to add because I know you're going to make me do it now because this is something Krim has said before and I know it's going to happen and I don't know if I really want to do it. But it comes from 11 Vicious that says, MTG Fish Mail, the show Hot Ones with Spicy Wings. I bought all 10 of those hot sauces. Me and my friends play Commander, eating progressively hotter wings each round of turns. It's gaining popularity in my community. Would the Goldfish crew try this? Krim, I know you're going to love this because I'm pretty sure you pitched something like this in the past. And I was like, I really don't want to eat hot wings. Like, please, no.
I definitely pitched this. And it was shot down immediately because Seth was like, I am not eating wings.
I don't want
that are
hot wings.
And maybe it's because I'm a glutton for pain, but like, I love spicy food.
Maybe it would be really funny. Maybe it would actually be a funny Commander Clash episode. Do you think it'd be funny, Richard? Do we have to do this now?
So I remember us brainstorming about this, right? And the idea of like taking a dude to game action seems a little weird, but if every turn it happens,
everyone had to eat the wing.
But we're never going to make it to the 10th one. We're going to make it to turn 10.
We got to play aggro. Everyone was playing aggro combo
It's kind of funny. I don't know who would do it, though.
Turn it gets spicier. I'll do it.
Okay. I would do it if I had to. I would probably be funny just because
I don't want you to die, Seth.
Because I do not.
I need you to have some shot of making it to the last one.
I can. I'm pretty tough. I could tough. I wouldn't enjoy it, but I mean, I ate the anchovies for that pizza charity stream, and man, it can't be worse than
that.
Guys, nothing's worse than anchovies.
Anchovies are gross.
You normally eat spicy thing? Like, it's not just like the hour of suffering. It's the 24
it's
hours
the day after.
After, where it's just
does it
constantly
actually last
reminding
that long?
You of bad choices, you know?
There's many things that are at play, yes.
We should try the spicy ramen challenge first. I think that's a lot milder than whatever, like 8 kajillion Scovilles or whatever. Like, you rub your eyes and you die. Like, I don't even know why this is legal and why people are doing this.
Yeah.
You know? You're like, what?
I did that in the pandemic when like out of boredom, my roommate and I, we just did the hot ones challenge for fun. So
how was it? Is it doable?
At some point, it's somewhere in the middle that I thought it was the worst because it just didn't taste good. Like, it was just like this like sweet spice. I don't like sweet with my food. I want salty, savory. I'm a card game player, salty all the time. I did not like the flavor palette. That part was gross to me, but then the latter half that was really spicy, like the bomb and all of that, that was really good, but also hot.
Krim just used it for fun. That's a normal order.
That's why I spent all my time in the bathroom.
Anyway, we'll put it on our list. We'll see. Maybe they'll make me some hot wings at some point. But Richard, how do people send in fish mail for future podcasts?
All right, send us your hot sauce recommendations at MTG Goldfish with the hashtag MTG Fish Mail, and we'll get to your questions on air.
And anyway, everyone, that brings us to the end of episode 550 of the MTG Goldfish Podcast. So Richard Grimm, thanks for hanging out. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to our sponsors for supporting the show. And we'll be back next week to talk about Spider-Man spoilers, the big standard event this weekend, and whatever else goes on in the world of magic. So until then, have a great week, everyone. And this is the crew signing out.